news and commentary on the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome to the newscast for July 28th, episode 28 of the Webcomic Beacon newscast, located at newscast.webcastbeacon.com. I'm your host for this week, Eric Kimble.
Webcomicbeacon.com. Hold on. Newscast.webcomicbeacon.com.
Oh, son of a... All right, we'll try that again. Welcome to the newscast for July 28th. Not 28th. One more time.
He's in the future.
So, after the invention of rocket cars and the alien invasion, we were all shocked that webcomics were still on the web. All right, one more time. Welcome to the newscast for July 10th, episode 28. My name is Eric Kimble. I write Xern, and as well as Blade Bunny. We're going to go through the week's news. Joining us today is Ben. Ben, introduce yourself.
This is Ben Carver. I run the Animation Aficionados podcast, animationaficionados.com, and I also contribute to Crossover Kill, crossoverkill.com. Good to be here.
And we also have Hal.
Hello, I'm Hal Hefner. I am half organic robot and half porn bunny, and I run the Gates, the webcomic website, and I'm the artist and writer of that, which is Heavy Metal Magazine's first online comic. So thanks for having me here, guys.
And, of course, as always, you can reach the newscast by going to webcastbeacon.com and searching for it, or you can go to our direct feed by going to newscast.webcastbeacon.com.
Newscast.webcomicbeacon.com.
Webcomic Beacon?
Webcomic
and
Beacon.
The voice that has told me that I am wrong... is Fess. He's in the background running the show, as always.
Well, I'm recording the show. I'm not running it. But I might, if you can't get your lines right.
So, yeah. See why you just collect the news here, guys. All right. I promised everyone at the our panelists at the beginning, before we get into the heavy news, that they could talk a little bit about what's going on with their comics and their projects this week. I'll start it off with Hal. You said you had some things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, actually, Gates is a pretty interesting project that I'm undertaking. And, you know, it started off with the idea of just being a webcomic. But because Heavy Metal had that interesting history of, you know, boobs, blood, and also combining music and animation and things of that nature, I really wanted to play up on that. So... we're working on a soundtrack right now that is going to be released on iTunes and Amazon.com, and it's actually dedicated to the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. And Eric, being you know, a fellow upstate New Yorker, obviously Ronnie James Dio was pretty big to us up there because he left and actually made a career as a little elfin metalhead. So anyway, we're dedicating this soundtrack to his foundation, and we actually had some pretty cool movements on it this week, where we brought in, we basically have solidified the list of players that are going to be on it, and some cool names that have some big traction out there. There's a great band from the 80s called Black and Blue, and they were kind of... on the same kind of like tier as, like, I would say, like Quiet Riot and Def Leppard. And so they actually are joining the soundtrack with a song from their new album. And I also have Nick Menza, who is the former drummer of Megadeth, putting together a project that's going to be on there too. So amongst that, we have some other great names and things like that. So that's happening. And this all kind of works in conjunction with the comic, which is updated on a weekly basis. And, yeah, it's going really well. So thanks for the, you know, the ability to plug. And I'll pass the baton. Thank you, guys.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Hal. And we'll throw it over to Ben. Ben, do you have any news from your side of the web?
Yes, the Animation Aficionados just recently put up our latest episode. At the end of the week, we had a special episode where we talked about the Iron Giant, and we had a very special guest, Ben Heck. Ben Heckeldorn, the famous video game console modder. Come on.
Oh, cool. Well, I was giving you time to talk.
Okay.
Okay, I will go, ooh, that's awesome.
Maybe there's not so much crossover in this. I don't know.
Come on.
That's very cool.
And we have several episodes coming up. Like next weekend, we're going to have the film pigs back on. And, you know, we're looking to get a Flash animator on for our Flash animation episode. But other than that, you know, we're just trugging along with with our guests and stuff. And, you know, anyone who's listening who wants to be on, just let me know and we'll find something you can be on.
Right.
Not to mention that Animation Aficionados is going to be affiliating with the Webcast Beacon Network as soon as we get bumps and images exchanged. So that's another thing. So.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Yes, we already sent you our bump. We were waiting for yours now.
Yep. I got to record a new one.
And from my side of the pond, I have done nothing except update comics, which
well, that
I suppose is something.
That is important. It's necessary.
It's necessary. But let's move into the actual news. News that each week is collected by yours truly, and I would highly encourage people to send news links in. We'll make sure that we have the most diverse news possible. Send it in and send it into the Webcast Beacon. You can find emails for that on the site as well as other contact information, or you can send it to our Twitter account. Either way, let us know what's going on so we can report on it. First news, this coming to us from Comics Talk and posted on Gorilla Geek is an interview with Danielle Corsetto, the maker of Girls with Slingshots, a pretty famous webcomic, and they've interviewed her about making a webcomic. Most of it is along the lines of, what is this webcomic thing that we've seen in many of these interviews? An interesting bit in the interview here, they have, do you think it's easier for women to break into the digital industry than traditional comic strips? And she says, yes, although I think it has more to do with genre than medium. Comic books are aimed at boys. They focus on superpowers. And our character, most popular webcomics are character-driven and have characters' lifestyle, observations, philosophies, and most of all of them, and most of them can be clumped into a broad category of humor. While I know plenty of women who generally love superheroes, I think that most women prefer to read and write about characters that interact with each other and not how they're going to pulverize each other. So, I mean, do you guys believe that? Yeah. I mean, as writers of comics, is the genre more diverse on webcomics? Is it more targeted toward the female audience? I think
it's more targeted towards whatever you are looking for. I mean, that's the beauty of the webcomic world is, if someone sees a gap that they see as a gap, they will fill the gap themselves. That's the beauty of it. Versus, you know, someone who just wants to, you know, do something that can easily be, you know, marketable. You know, marketability is not the foremost in a creator's mind in a webcomic most of the time. So basically they do the story that they want to tell, and that's why most gaps in the market are filled. You know, most of the niche markets, you can look up for a webcomic for anything, and unless you're like doing something really, really weird in your search, you're going to find it.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, because most of the times when they say, you know, talk about popular webcomics, they list The Oatmeal, they list XKCD, and they list Penny Arcade, none of which are your traditional strips in any way, shape, or form. None of them look like what we're used to either in comic strip or comic book format.
Well, to be fair, Penny Arcade is, you know, aside from the size format, is very similar to what one would call a daily strip.
Yeah,
it's, you know, they had the guy who did Foxtrot slide right in, and it didn't miss a beat for a day. So,
yeah, that's true. Hal, do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think you know, web comics are pretty much about just kind of letting loose. You can't let loose on paper through a publisher like you can on webcomics. Webcomics pretty much have no holds barred, and I think it allows, you know, some of these, I think, female voices that, you know, might, like she says, get ignored by the regular comics industry, you know, print comics, I should say, that, you know, that someone, you know, like her can stand up, stand out, and do something different. So, yeah, I think she's pretty accurate in that statement.
All right, so let's move on to our next news article. The next one, and this has sort of been a long time coming, the end of United Media Syndicate. This is coming to us via the Washington Post. Yep, their Washington Post Comics Riff section. And it gives you a really detailed history of the rise and fall of United Media. Now, the rise has very little to do with webcomics since it's back in the early days. But right. at the end, they talk about the death of United Media. And the blame is pretty squarely put on webcomics, although as sort of an unavoidable force. At the end of their article, they say, "For me, Universal had to deal with the fact that over the years, there was a slow bleed of good people leaving the company. The ones that remained weren't given the support or resources they had to maintain while changing with the times." Fry says, "The rarefied bubbles that comics lived in for in a long time became part of the problem. They were well protected from real competition. There's no other form of media where something like Blondie, Family Circus, or even Peanuts would survive as long as they did. Online takes an intense interest to survive and prosper. Most newspaper comics won't cut it, but a few will, and great online comics, oh, here we go, like Oatmeal, XKCD, and Penny Arcade will lead us into the future." So, I mean, they're basically saying this, I mean, this died because they were trying to keep these really old strips alive.
Well, it's more than that. It's also because when you look at it, you know, comic strips and comic books have the same problem. It's where you have these aging dinosaurs that don't understand what the digital medium is now, and they try fighting against it versus trying to go with it. As an aside, it really surprised me that television and movie got it because. You know, the explosion that Hulu and Netflix has is huge. And guess what happened because of Hulu and Netflix? For the first time ever, online piracy of movies and television shows went down.
Yes.
And that's why this is what Universal, you know, or United Media Syndicate doesn't understand, that you have to embrace the digital medium more so than just putting the strip on the internet as well. You have to do something else other than that, because that's part of the problem. You know, you can read Garfield online, but what does that do for you? Nothing.
Exactly. But, you know, you put interviews with Jim Davis on there. You put, you know, a bunch of other interesting things that make people want to come back, that stand out, and, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the thing. You have to provide the content from your portal, from your source.
Yeah.
Because that way it's a trusted source. That way, you know, you can read like 30 years worth of comics in one place, or comic strips in one place, and you know it's from a trusted source. You don't have to go torrent hunting for 30 years of Family Circus, although I don't know anyone
who would. Who the hell would do that?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know anyone that would.
I know, man. I've always been a Family Circus hater. I can't deny it, man.
I always loved Rose's Rose. I always thought that was a great strip.
Oh, I found that one so boring.
But it's got a cute cat in it.
So? I don't care.
Oh, man.
You have no soul, Fez.
I got a soul, but I don't want it in my newspaper.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that movies and TV have gotten around this, and the problem that the comic book industry has, is just what the newspaper the cartoon syndicates had. They were married to a dying medium. In newspapers, the dying medium was newspapers. You know, this right. was the problem. In comic books, comic books are married to the direct market, the comic book stores.
Yeah, and well, that's the stupidest thing ever, though, because right now the comic industry has killed a lot of good faith they had with their fans. And the one way they could easily bring back all that good faith is make their entire archive free to read or freemium to read, where you get like a 30-second ad and you can read as much as you want. Mm-hmm. It's that simple, because guess what? Hulu is able to win back a lot of good faith. What do? They show Miami Vice and Quantum Leap, 20-year-old shows people don't even watch anymore. Now they can just watch it now versus looking for a torrent. And they're not going to make much more money off those shows anyway. So if you just put it on free to watch, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get people talking about how great Hulu is.
Yeah, and you don't have to put every series online, you know, and give it away for free. I mean, you can save the premium series and, you know, and sell those. But I agree. I think they gotta give a little more. And you know, especially when they're constantly reinventing the characters and killing this one and giving all these new, you know, rise to new characters and new groups. I mean, there's so many X-Men titles, I can't even keep up with it, you know.
And Wolverine's on all of them.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's like give your fans a little more and they will come back. You know, it's like that, you know, cheesy quote from Kevin Costner movie, build it and they will come. And it's the truth, you know. You've got such a fan base, give them something.
Yeah, because what would you rather do? Would you rather watch a 30-second ad than read as many comics as you want for like an hour? Or would you, on DCComics.com, or would you rather hunt around for a torrent that might or might not have a virus in it?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And then while doing that, you're using your items as a marketing tool to keep people on your site. And if you keep people on your site and you keep them enticed, they're more likely going to purchase something. So, you know, it's just kind of common sense, B2C typical, you know, business 101 that they're really flailing on.
No, that's because just like Eric said, they're tied to a dying business model. The comics are tied to the newspaper. The comic books are tied to the stores, because comic books count as sales how many issues they sell to a store.
Yes.
And that's an old dead dinosaur model that doesn't show what's really popular anymore, because you go to any comic book store, they have a huge stack of 3-month-old comics that no one bought.
Exactly. It's kind of like the accuracy of the attendance at Dodger Stadium these days here in LA. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to that, but that's pretty nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what happens, because DC is trying this whole reboot where it does really appear they're throwing the comic book stores under the bus. So,
well, actually, they're charging $1 more for the digital copy, so...
Oh, okay, well, then we'll see.
Which is stupid.
I thought after 1 month the digital copy was going to go down in price.
Yeah, the original plan...
It's still a very, very, very stupid model, because it's $3 a piece for 20 pages, and, you know, it's digital content, and
I understand that, but you can...
I would never pay that much for a PDF.
I respect them. I respect them for trying to save the real comic book stores, and which honestly I would prefer not. Prefer real medium not to go away, because who knows what would happen really to all these local stores that have great stuff. You have to have a really good local community in order for any of these things to survive.
Well, that's the thing. You have to have a really good store to survive. I mean, that's the idea. I mean, for DC Comics to come up with this weird jacking up the price for digital content is like the government coming in and saying we're bailing out the auto industry. It's not going to really help anyone. And it's just going to delay the inevitable.
Yeah.
Well, stimulus packages aside, let's get on to our next bit of news. This is under our tech segment, and this is coming from us from GigaOM, and it's a study that this week referrals from StumbleUpon have beat Facebook. To sites. So if something is listed on StumbleUpon, it is, you get more hits off of it than you do from Facebook. And this is a recent study that StumbleUpon is beating both Twitter and Facebook as relevancy for linking. This is all part of the social networking sort of thing that you have to do for your comics. And I don't know, you guys have opinions on that?
I actually haven't stumbled into StumbleUpon all that much. I've used it a little bit, but it's something that I'd like to do more. But it's StumbleUpon
can do very well for some people. I've seen people who have used StumbleUpon to really promote their comic very well.
Well, how do you do that, though? I mean, it's like the Webcomic Beacon site has, I have a plugin which has all these share buttons where you can click on, you know, StumbleUpon and do something, but I guess I never really looked into how you're supposed to, I guess, actively do it, aside from having a link on there.
How to be stumbled?
The same way you can use Facebook is the way you can use StumbleUpon, and that's becoming a trusted authority there. So you can't go on there just to promote your comic. You go on there and promote all sorts of random stuff.
Okay.
More people follow you. More people become interested in what you're promoting. Then when you start posting your comic saying, hey, I got a funny page on my comic today, then you're going to have you have a whole bunch of people, and it's not exactly like followers, but you have a whole bunch of people who watch you. And when you then stumble it, a number of people will go with you to the site. So it's the same way you get known on message boards. It's the same way you get known on Facebook. It's becoming an app.
That sounds like a lot of work.
I know. Yeah. It's another social network to be sucked into.
Speaking of another social network, Google Plus has recently been released, and Google Plus has already dethroned Twitter as the most used plugin on Facebook. So I think Facebook itself is going to be in trouble in a little bit.
Have you guys dabbled into Google Plus yet? I have not.
I have, yes. And, you know, I already have a lot of people in the webcomic industry plused already in my circles and stuff.
It's just, webcomics is a DIY sort of industry unless somebody's kind enough to pull you under their wing or if you pay somebody else to do something. Sometimes there are people out of the kindness of their hearts that will help out their favorite things or not. And speaking of which, if anybody is having the kindest of hearts to want to help promote the Webcast Beacon Network on any sort of social media, please send me an email because I don't have the time to do this. But,
Fez, do you want a Google Plus invite? I got like 10 invites.
I got invited for me, and I think somebody sent one to the Webcast Beacon. So as soon as I try to figure out what the hell it is. And I don't want to mess with this. It's a bit pain in the ass. I barely have time to think. I'm going to have to start updating my comic like daily for the next 2 weeks. I don't have time. Anyway.
That's the biggest problem is not having the time to do this stuff. It is a ton of work. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I think we're all back now.
I actually just got kicked off the call for a minute, but I'm
we
back.
All did.
Oh, okay.
Except for me.
I'm here too. You guys just suck.
All right.
It's like webcomic lists. You know, another one keeps popping up. Oh, I got to put my comic under there too. Put the little vote thing on there. Blah blah. It's just like yet another damn thing to have to worry about. And it's just it's you got to keep on top of it if you want to maximize promoting your comic, I suppose. I mean, you don't have to do it, but
someone should really start a service. I mean, I would literally pay someone $30 a month just to deal with all of this.
It's interesting.
You know, just go out there, make sure it's stumbled upon, make sure it's on, you know, Facebook, make sure all of it goes through.
There are some things out there. There's like, I don't know if you guys have looked into Hootsuite, but Hootsuite's a pretty cool free online tool that allows you to update LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Only Wire that's also pretty good too. I was using that a few years ago, but kind of let my membership lapse. But I think they update StumbleUpon too.
Huh.
All right.
Yeah.
So now that the gang's all here again,
hey.
moving on to our next topic. This is under the business section, and this is coming from the Daily Cartoonist, and an idea by the maker of Bob the Squirrel, the webcomic. He is offering a ebook download, and the trick about his ebook download is it's pay what you can. Now, so you can download it for free, or you can choose to pay whatever you want to download the book. Now, this is interesting because it's a free webcomic with a donation button just sitting on the site there. So your choices are you can read the free comic and then donate what you want, or as another option, you can download the free comic for donating what you would like. I don't know if this is brilliant or redundant.
I think more redundant than brilliant.
We had somebody on the show a while back that had basically their first chapter of their comic online available to read, and then like the other chapters were like 99-cent download PDFs per chapter, which I don't think is a bad model at all, really. And your results can vary, of course, but at least having that initial whet your appetite sort of thing and seeing what you like, because, you know, obviously with mobile devices and all these readers and such like that, a dollar is something that people will spend because it's just a dollar. Yeah, I could do that. And so like the micropayment model that was originally pushed by Scott McCloud obviously failed. And what was that one? There was like a couple of comics communities that went behind a paywall, and that didn't work at all. Yep. But, you know, it's a different market now.
Yeah, and I actually work with a lot of ad agencies here in Los Angeles, and I have quite a few friends who have development companies and things of that nature. And so one of the really crazy numbers in terms of metrics are that 99 cents and 1.99 seem to be the magical numbers in purchasing apps and other downloadable content. When it goes over 1.99, the percentage of people that buy drop dramatically. So it seems like those are the magic numbers, 99 cents and 1.99. When you go over, you know, it's a wild card.
Yep. Here's the clever part about this, I think. When you read a webcomic, the donate button is sitting there, but you can just ignore it. You don't have to. You don't have to interact with it. For this PDF, you have to go through the purchase process and actively type in, "I am giving you $0 for this comic." So it's one of those things where you are choosing to give someone nothing as opposed to actively just ignoring the button. I think he might see a better result on this, because if I actually went through the checkout process, I probably would give a dollar if someone said, if I had to be faced with it.
Well, you're not really faced with them. It's not like he's going to have like a wall of shame of names of people that don't.
Although that's funny.
That would be funny. But that is a bit of social engineering. It's the difference between, you know, the donate what you want to walk into the museum, the box sitting up in the front, versus the box once you leave.
Well, think of it about this way, Eric. It's social engineering works sometimes, but the thing is, you have to actually actively shame people to get really good results, because there are people that dine and dash. And if you took a picture of everyone who's going to dine and dash and put them on the wall in every restaurant, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, but we know you don't have to get everyone. If I increase the amount of people who pay by 10%, that's a win.
Yeah, okay. Anything's a win in webcomics, man. If you can make a little cash, you know, savor it.
Okay, it's all
right.
Just be careful, Eric, because, you know, he's going to one day get that list of people who paid $0 and put them on that wall of shame, and your name's going to be on top.
Honestly, I don't think that would work. I think you might see an upsurge in people just downloading it just to get on that wall of shame. Yeah. There are it's like that, counterculture that, kind of, that people, you know, they want to be known for being a dick or something like that. It's
Well, on that note, we're going to go to a break, but don't worry, we won't be a dick. We will come back later with more news and analysis thereof.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So, welcome back. We're going to continue our review of the week's news. Jumping down to our legal section, where we have a little bit of news from, England's across the pond. Where's Australia? Well,
from down under.
Down under. We have news from down under. Australia has begun censoring the internet. There is now statewide censorship of the internet by the internet service providers that operate within Australia. Now, currently, the censorship is only for sites that have been deemed illegal by Interpol. So it's not really going to block a lot of sites. Still, it has brought up a lot of concerns over this censorship.
Well, it's already a nanny state down there. They don't let you play video games that have blood in them anyway. So you know, it's a nanny state down there.
But I mean, is this a trend that we're seeing? I mean, China's been doing it for years, but are we seeing now a little bit more progressive governments starting to censor the internet like this?
I love how progressive means restrictive.
Welcome to the New World Order.
Well, Utah did the same thing.
Yeah, well, Utah's trying to do the same thing. Utah's being fought by the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. And I mean, we also have the problem with Canada, you know, arresting people for bringing in manga from Japan, which, while weird, something that
what type of manga though? I heard something about the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund using monies to defend people that have brought or something with manga with clearly underage girls in clearly illegal, at least here.
You know what? That's the weirdest thing. Japan's trying to make that illegal too. Any images that might be sexual of any girl that's under 18. And that's the weirdest thing for me because the age of consent in Japan is 13. And
oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
And it gets worse. It gets worse. It gets worse because actually one of the top manga artists of all time in Japan told the politicians, he told them off really good. He said to them, you know, you guys should actually be worrying more about real victims than fictional characters.
Yeah.
That was Go Nagai that said that. So it's
yeah, this is the real argument that we have here. I mean, the first of all, Japan is weird.
Vending machine there, so that is weird.
Or are they progressive?
No, they're weird.
I don't understand that. They have mangas about like preschool kids having sex. So, they're strange.
No, one
but
of the
they
Japanese,
are just images.
The, one of the first Japanese superheroes in manga was actually this man, this character called Rape Man.
Yeah, Japan is weird. We know that. But the question is, can governments arrest you or censor you simply based on the fact that you are drawing images?
They can, but it doesn't make it right.
Do images have less free speech than words.
You say images, but we're also you have to also in obviously what we're talking about pedophilia. And images are not that different from a photograph because they're also images. The law says depictions, and that counts as a depiction.
Well, U.S. law says that digital, anything that isn't a true image, digital depictions, the Supreme Court ruled on this. Anything that's not a simulated images, this includes, drawings or computer graphics, do not fall under this because no one is actually being exploited here. They are simulated images. In the same way, I can say a man had sex with an underage child, and I'm not arrested for saying that. I'm allowed to say it, and in the United States, images get the same rights, but not all other countries feel that way. Australia and Canada have different feelings on it, and while you can find the image repulsive, just as you can find the statement, a man had sex with an underage child, repulsive.
I bet all our listeners weren't prepared for this today.
Oh, yeah. this podcast is now illegal in Utah, Australia, and possibly Canada.
All right, I've always wanted to fight Utah anyway, so I'll come on, Mormons, bring it on!
Yeah, but Fess, you have those women folks speaking their mind, so it'd already be illegal in Utah. Sorry. All right. Well, off of the relatively pleasant topic of pedophilia, we'll go down to...
We're going
to
talk about bestiality. No, wait.
Yeah, now bestiality.
No. All right, moving on, sorry.
Speaking of Scott Kurtz.
No.
We love Scott Kurtz.
All right. We have just quick tidbits here. I'm going to move through these kind of quick. We have from Robot 6 a article on comics that trick the eye, and this is about Warren Ellison's new comic that has invisible ink on it that you can see using black lights, and it goes through the history of this, including some comics that you had to use an iron to see the ink on it, and this was back in the early days of comics where they did that. And so it's just a cute little trick technique they do. You guys have any opinions on that? Have you had a chance to look at this new Blacklight comic?
I think there is more than meets the eye with this comic.
Really, Sheila Booth.
Meets the eye.
All right. We have some DeviantArt tutorials as we did every week. We have one on male torso anatomy. From MONI 158, we have Fox Orion giving us a starter guide to the Wacom tablets. We have Alex Donkers showing us how to add dirt to an image using Photoshop. We have Dry Till showing us how to create fire, and from Fadra Loita. Loita?
Fedora Lodi.
Say that again?
Fedora. it looks like Fedora Lodi.
Okay, sorry. My apologies, Fedora Lodi. We have a pretty good article on female body types showing diversity instead of the standard hourglass figure. And we'll move on from there.
I gotta say, I like that you started checking out and getting some DeviantArt tutorial links in there, because now I can just go to the Webcomic Beacon newscast and type in DeviantArt tutorials and find what we've been covering.
I do my best. And I try to get some every week just to help people out. So, moving on to another legal issue. This week there has been a bit of dust-up over the Dropbox's basically service of agreement.
Terms of service.
Terms of service. They put some language in there that sort of read like, if you put something in Dropbox, we can now distribute it to anyone we want. They went back and changed it, but it made people a little nervous. They also put in language that said, we will turn over your things to legal enforcement. So if law enforcement asks us to, we will give it to them. And we won't notify you about that.
I don't think there's a big problem about that for most people.
No.
It's just if people are doing illegal things, maybe it's a concern. I had a discussion with somebody on Twitter yesterday about this, basically, because I guess apparently Tumblr and Facebook and possibly Google Plus have somewhat similar language. And this person, Greg Carter, is who I was tweeting with. He's basically saying it's a culture technology shift and legalese isn't keeping up. And then he went on to say that Tumblr's not going to put your image on a t-shirt, mostly because it would be a PR nightmare if they actually did that. And it would be very, very bad for them if that came out. So I think it's just a wording, because Dropbox, you can share with other computers that have the login. And also Tumblr, you can repost other people's stuff. And so they're trying to go for that while protecting themselves from what you post, and protecting yourself from. It's basically they were going with legalese versus like basically spelling out clearly defining everything. They're trying to do the legalese catch-alls, and that is what is being argued, because honestly, if some of these companies did do this, they'd be in some trouble. Though, with the argument with Google Plus, like if people, I don't know if they changed the terms of service since this, but you know, like if a photographer puts a photo of theirs through their site, that photo might be somehow turned into public domain almost, is what the concern was, especially for like news sorts of things. So always read the terms of service no matter what you're going into. Though for the most part, Greg says that he doesn't believe that it's as real of a concern, but it's still a concern that might come up in the future.
Here's my counter argument to that, Vess. And here, I'm going to give it. The terms of service, this is the problem. While they put it in there for operational, it does read like they get partial ownership of your document. And yes, these companies are far too big and don't want the PR disaster associated with it. However, these terms of service agreements are forever, and internet companies are not. For example, if you put your stuff on Drunk Duck, given the situation with Platinum Studios right now, you may be in trouble regarding that terms of service, because while Drunk Duck doesn't want the nightmare, when they go under and someone else buys that terms of service on your material, they could have some powerful control over you. Same with Dropbox. Dropbox is riding high now, but what happens in 5 years when the company goes under and its assets are auctioned off?
I thought Platinum didn't own Drunk Duck anymore. I thought they'd sold it back.
I think they bought it back again. I don't know.
And they also sold Wowio. I don't know. That'd be something to look into.
Yeah.
That's why I don't personally use Drunk Duck.
Speaking of which, we do have some Drunk Duck news. Drunk Duck will be coming the duck. They are now currently doing their massive data migration to the new server, complete with, instead of constantly repatching the old code, how old is it, like 10 years old now? Brand new code, lots of new features, and I'm certainly be interested in it once it goes over. This is not an advertisement, but I've always said, if you're going to do a hobby comic and go on Drunk Duck, you'll be up and running in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's news that's happening right now, so...
Yeah, but yeah, the terms of service, the vagueness of the language is a little bit concerning, because when you agree to this, you're not only agreeing to it with the current company, you're agreeing to it with any other company that may buy this company in the future. And we have all seen that these companies merge and they change, and the terms of service stays there even after it's merged or been bought by another company. So while you may trust Dropbox, you trust the people who will buy Dropbox in 5 years? That's the big question.
All right.
Ben, Hal, do you have any opinions?
Yeah, it's scary. It's you know, some of this stuff scares the crap out of me. I have to be honest with you. You know, I'm very big about rights and small governments and things of that nature. That's why my comic has a, you know, nice political twist to it. But I just, you know, I think this is another indication of you know, corporate America and also corporate world organizations that are just, you know, quickly chipping away at the rights of you know, mankind. I mean, we have to be careful, especially when it comes to giving away too much. And, you know, prior what we were talking, you know, what we were talking about before about the, you know, censorship. It's like, it's nice that you followed these two back to back because they make sense. And as we, as, you know, digital pioneers continue to forge onward, you know, we're gonna see our rights taken away little by little in order to profit, you know, more of the big boys. And I mean, you've seen it basically in California. Anybody that uses Amazon and other retailers for affiliate marketing, Amazon has basically pulled their affiliation with you because of tax laws. These new tax laws that have been put into effect. So there's lots of things that are happening right now that we have to keep our eye on. And when they get too crazy, we have to remember to fight the power.
The power is yours.
Exactly. So crush it. Right.
Any parting thoughts, Ben?
Basically, you just have to remember the motto that Google had when they started.
Don't be evil.
Don't be evil. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. So, moving on to our next discussion topic.
Who's doing that?
I don't know. Warren Ellis posted a number of surveys. He posted three blog posts about digital strategies. He first started off with his own digital strategy. Then he talked about Marvel and DC. His own digital strategy focusing quite a bit on iPad and graphically, the current darlings of the industry. And talks about some of the pressures to do something more with their digital stores. He then went on to DC's strategy, which he pointed out that DC is trying to go digital while at the same time trying to be nice to the direct market, and how that's not going to work out very well. Yes. And how the direct market really doesn't care about DC. He then went on to talk about Marvel's digital strategy, which essentially he said there is none. Marvel hasn't done anything digital. Although he has pointed out Marvel is a lot more flexible and fast-moving of a company compared to DC. So he thinks that they're just waiting to see what DC does and then swoop in and do it a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be on a panel next Monday at Meltdown Comics with the business development guy from Graphically and one of the heads of Marvel's digital campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to, you know, to hear what they've got going on, and I can report it back next time I talk to you guys.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. So, the Marvel one is the big one. We know what DC is doing. We don't know what Marvel's doing outside of occasionally putting back issues on Graphically. So we'll see what their strategy becomes. All right. Well, that brings us through our major discussions. There's a few tidbits for the week. Coming to us from Fleen, we have Comics We Love, Webcomics We Love.
We love webcomics, actually.
We love webcomics, a museum show on webcomics, showcasing a number of popular webcomics. And did you guys see where this was going on? I don't have the page open.
Yeah, you go to We Love Webcomics at Webcomics We Love, so you did the wrong site.
Yeah. this is being shown in San Francisco. And it features a number of notable webcomics. And it's a show showing the art of webcomics. We also have some thoughts on digital publishing, coming to us from 3millionyears.co.uk, talking a lot about iPad and various venues to get on the iPad. That's a site dedicated to the iPad. There is from GigaOm a article on how the Amazon App Store is not really a very good deal, and Amazon has a lot of requirements that reduce the amount you get for app stores, including things like Amazon must always be lower than any other apps. Amazon's price must always be lower than any other sale anywhere, even if the sale is temporary. So if you give a one-day sale for half-price app, your app will automatically be dropped to half price on Amazon permanently. So there's a lot of controls that Amazon have that don't make it quite a good deal.
Well, that it's a good deal for consumers, though, because Amazon's free app a day is what helped grow the market really well. And
yep.
You know, if you're looking at Amazon, Amazon's saying themselves to be as integral to Android as Google is. Yep. And because they already offer a secondary app market, which is a great idea. They also offer a secondary cloud music player, which is great because Amazon just recently said that they updated their Amazon MP3 to where you can have unlimited storage, unlimited meaning you can put up 300 gigs worth of music if you want for only $20 a year.
Yeah.
There's another thing on this article that says that Amazon doesn't filter out devices, so you could end up buying an app that won't even work on your device.
Well,
so there are some drawbacks for the consumer.
A lot of the filtering isn't really hardware compatibility either. For instance, Hulu Plus technically says it won't work on my Incredible. I downloaded the APK anyways and installed it, and guess what? It works.
Yeah, no, this complaint is specifically from creators, not consumers.
Right.
And that the creator can't make sure that you get the perfectly optimized app for your device.
Well, the Android market
have as much price control as they do in other venues. Well, so
I'm just saying that the Android market won't let me download the Konami X-Men game.
Yep.
On my tablet, but I did it from the Android market. It works just fine. So
yep.
From the Amazon App Store, it works just fine. So I see it actually as a very good thing that they don't have that stupid compatibility thing, because lots of things people think aren't compatible actually are.
Oh yeah, this is the war that we always see. From the creator standpoint, they want to control exactly what you do with your device. From the consumer, they want freedom to do whatever they want. And you have Apple that goes very strong pro-creator. Apple, you do exactly what the creator and Apple says, and you do nothing else with your device. Where you're going to the Amazon store, which is the exact opposite, download whatever you want and you figure it out.
Well, the biggest thing is you talk about the price control thing. Amazon's structure is nowhere near as bad as Apple's structure for the in-app purchases. I don't know if you know about this or not, but had this stupid-ass structure where they said basically any in-app purchase, we, Apple, get
40%
one-third of the cut,
yeah,
and you can't have a lower price anywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if Apple's not hosting the other, like the Kindle on Apple, if everything that they sell through the Kindle,
exactly,
Apple will get 40% just because.
Yes.
Hi, yes, we hear you.
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, and you can't have it lower anywhere else.
Yeah, they cover this on the Geek Life, and that's where I heard about it.
And like I said, people bitch about Amazon. Nowhere near as bad as Apple.
No. There's a reason back in the day that Apple did that commercial, and they used the whole Big Brother campaign. It's very, very symbolic of where they are today in terms of handling and controlling our media.
We call that irony.
Well, you know what? It's sad for me because of one thing. They don't have the mobile market anymore. So they're acting like they still do, and they don't. I mean, Android took that. Android grew over 800% in a year. And show of hands, who here has an Android? Me?
I do not. I'm an iPhone after just ripping on Apple. Yeah.
I got an Android. I am an iPhone waiting for my contract to expire so I can get an Android.
Okay. Hal, we need to convert you. Fez, can you help
me
out?
I know, man. I know. All my friends have Androids, and they're awesome, and my wife desperately wants an Android, too, so the pressure is there and on. Yeah.
I got a HTC Sensation 4GS just, like, the week that it came out, and it's pretty slick. And it had the absolute newest version of Android on there than anything else. So
yeah, 2.3 gingerbread.
Yeah.
Well, moving back to webcomics then, let's go down to our next tidbit. Underneath, the Harvey Awards have been announced for this year. And underneath the Harvey Awards Best Online Work, we have Gun of Shadow Valley, Gutters, Hark, a Vagrant.
Wait, I gotta say it. Hark, a Vagrant. Sorry. I always have to say that whenever I see that.
La Mort Sisters and PvP. I think this goes to... I complained last year about the Harvey Awards having best online work for works that were not online, so this year is a step up in that everything in the online works are online.
So what did Scott Kurtz win, Douche of the Year?
No, best online work, and Scott is hosting the Harvey Awards.
Oh, awesome.
And he has been hosting it for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean...
So he gave himself an award.
It's all by people of the industry. You have to be nominated, and you and me can nominate for these things. We covered this a while ago, and it's like, you look at the Harvey Awards, you look at how people get picked. You know, you have to... nominate. That's how you get on there. You can't just sit back. This is that DIY sort of thing, you know.
Yep.
And then they go over the submissions, and then they pick the finalists, basically.
Yes.
So it just needs to get out there that, yes, hey, get off your ass and nominate some webcomics.
Well, I'm going to argue with you a little bit there, because you can nominate until you're blue in the face.
True.
They pick the finalists.
True. But they're not.
You look at what they pick. They pick people I know. They pick people that they are familiar with, and that's what they always do. And it's not surprising. They pick the people.
Everybody does that, though. You know.
Yeah. Every single award thing does that, unless it's like a community sort of thing.
So
you know.
So you have to. I mean, this is one thing that webcomicers don't really think about. There is a place for actually meeting people. You know, and talking to people and letting people know what you're doing. There is a reason why we have these conventions and we go to these conventions and get FaceTime with people, and this is where it comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think going to be some great developments from now on with the best online comics work for Harvey Awards. Yep. Obviously, this year's a good example of that.
Yeah. All right.
I do have one extra tidbit, unless somebody else wants to comment on this.
One extra tidbit?
I do have an extra tidbit.
Does anyone else want to comment? Go away.
All right. Comic Craft at comiccraft.com is having its annual Comic-Con half-price font sale. So head on over and get some really good fonts that are not Comic Sans. And see how you can use what you find to incorporate into your comic. The half off sale is a big deal. And I think they might do like another 1 day deal at some point in the year. I forget that like every single font is like $20 or something like that. Even the ones that are $100 or the ones that are even $5, everything's $20. But this is the half price sale, so go ahead and check it out, because you know, get some good professional looking fonts. Maybe you've been eyeing something for a while. You know, check it out. You know, something to jump on. It ends at the end of July, I believe.
And I have to testify, I use Comic Craft fonts. They rock. They're good. Even their free ones are awesome. They're the best on the internet by far.
I still use Blambot fonts.
Well, you know, what have you? Just not Comic Sans, you know.
You're saying, why shouldn't I use Comic Sans? It has comic in the title of it, right?
Yeah.
Wow, your argument is infallible.
Moving on to our last little oddity, not webcomic related, but just a little strange. Researchers have gotten the Microsoft Kinetics.
It's Kinect.
Yeah, sorry. Microsoft Kinect to actually identify what you are doing by looking at by watching you in your room. So they can actually identify the actions you are taking, which I find a little creepy, but also cool.
Well, it's actually this was the whole idea behind it was this is a stereoscopic vision camera system with a complicated hardware and software mm-hmm. algorithms, where basically it's able to wireframe a human body, yep. Facial recognition, voice recognition. It's actually a very impressive piece of hardware.
So the news is basically saying that the Kinect is doing exactly what they told you it was going to do.
Yeah, and the biggest idea is Microsoft talking about Windows 8. They're talking about using a Kinect with Windows, actually, where all you have to do to unlock your computer when you sit down at it is all you do is sit down at your computer and it unlocks because it looks at your face and says, "Oh, it's you. Log in."
Oh, it's you.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a very interesting idea, and it's definitely one of the strengths that this piece of hardware has. A little known fact is the developers of the Kinect hardware software package went to other people first before they went to Microsoft. They, in fact, were talking with Apple for a short time about integrating this into Apple's systems.
Nintendo and as well.
You want to know why it fell apart with Apple?
No, gee, I wonder why.
Well, actually, it was Apple really wanted it, but the people who were developing the hardware and software, they walked away from Apple, not the
other way around. Oh, really? Interesting.
What happened was the guy actually said that they couldn't put up with Steve Jobs' antics. Let me just put this down for you. They would rather deal with Steve Ballmer than Steve Jobs.
Apple's philosophy is a closed system, and Kinect is not designed to be a closed system.
Apple was interested in this, though.
Yeah. But Apple would have probably told them, look, that's great, but you can't allow anyone else to use it. I mean, that's Apple's philosophy.
Right. Well, look what they're doing to Flash. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, come on. You know Flash could run on an iPhone. It doesn't take, brain surgery to figure that out. But, you know, that vendetta against Adobe that Steve Jobs has, it's all about HTML5. It's ridiculous.
Well, HTML5 isn't what people think it is. HTML5 is basically CSS3 plus some JavaScript.
Right.
Yep. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's not this fancy thing that can instantly replace Flash. Development for HTML5 is not as easy as Flash because what you have to do is you have to go into JavaScript coding, jQuery, learn about how to do objects that way. It's a lot harder than you think it is, and it's not as quick and open as Flash it is to make those
same
elements.
But does it use less resources? That's the key here.
Yeah.
And if it does use less resources, if you have to do a little bit more work, you know, that could be beneficial.
You're not talking about a little bit more work. It really isn't a little bit more work.
It depends on how much.
That's the problem. People paint it as a little bit more work. It's not.
It depends on how much the gain is from it, whether or not it's worth it for the individual developers.
Well, Adobe got Apple back pretty good because, as you know, the latest version of Apple's movie editing software was missing key features and didn't allow importing from the previous version.
Ooh. Well.
So what Adobe did was said anyone who bought Final Cut can get the Adobe Premiere for half off now.
So, guys, I think we're kind of straying away from webcomics and the newscast here.
Well, unless you're using such code to make your webcomic website, or if you're using Lightroom in order to make a photo webcomic.
Yeah. If you're using HTML5 to make a webcomic, you're doing something wrong.
or something very interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, or something very... Well, we've talked about the HTML5
right.
comic that they made, and that was kind of cool. But I think we're gonna. I'm gonna end off the podcast here, and we can continue talking afterwards. But I'm gonna say goodbye to all our guests. Ben, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And tell us your site and one more time.
AnimationAficionados.com.
Hal, thanks for being on.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And you can find my comic at GatesTheComic.com or Gates.HeavyMetal.com. Either of those links work, and we'll take you there. And thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on, Hal. And, of course, Fest has been in the background. We all know your URL. That's
at you said you know it.
Newscast.webcomicbeacon.com or webcast beacon for the entire network. And your particular Tumblr is too many things to list, right?
That's just festworks.tumblr.com now.
Oh, okay, you changed it.
Yeah, I realized I don't need 14 domain names.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't. I really, really don't.
You're done with Fest.
Just go to festworks.com. You'll find links to whatever. There you go.
Nice.
And this has been Eric from xern.com, and I'm going to say goodbye.
Peanut butter and jelly, folks. Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter.